This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about serrano peppers.
And I've just, yesterday was bivalently boosted. We're recording this in advance, so this happened in September. But these things hit me pretty hard.
So I'm
trying to rally. If I seem a little loopy or if I, like, take a little cat nap halfway through the episode, that's why.
I was bivalently boosted 3 days ago and flu shotted.
Yep. I got the flu shot same time.
Yeah. But I got nothing but a slightly sore arm.
Yeah. I did the flu shot second. I asked the nurse, like, what do you recommend? Same arm or the other arm? And the nurse was like, it really doesn't matter. Like, whatever.
Matthew, I haven't told you about my experience getting my shot.
Okay.
So I signed up to get my vaccines through a CVS in the Northgate Target here in Seattle. And I made my appointment for like 10 o'clock. And when I got there, there was this guy just like kind of sitting in front of the pharmacy area.
Okay.
And he apparently had signed up for a vaccine too. Anyway, but what he didn't understand is that you're supposed to like go behind the little vaccine screen, right?
Okay.
So the lady who apparently was giving vaccines, she had a heavy, I believe, Russian accent.
All right.
And her name was very Russian. And she chastised him for not knowing where to sit. And anyway, so by the time I got up there and it was my turn, I was like, okay, I know what to do. I'm going to go straight behind the screen. I got this. Anyway, I sat down and I get really nervous having shots. So I tried to tried to make small talk. And I said the thing that I'm pretty sure everybody says to the person giving them a vaccine. I was like, so do you do this all day? And she goes, like, seriously, I could not get the woman to crack a smile.
Okay.
Not even.
But what did she say?
She goes, well, I do this. I answer stupid questions on the phone. I have to dispense prescriptions. You know, we have to count every bottle we use. Every bottle. And I'm just like sitting there trying to look away. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. I just loved, I answer stupid questions on the phone. I was like,
did you,
wow.
Like,
she had not
that,
yet given me the shot.
Did you think she was going to say, I answer stupid questions from people like you?
I was a little bit worried. I mean, it was an intense moment.
Okay, so my nurse was very genial, but I like also am nervous about getting shots, and so I talk a lot, and so the thing I focused on was the free lollipops, and I'm like, so I'm just here for the free lollipop, and they're just like, yeah, you got to get your lollipop, and I'm like, you know, no, I was kidding, like I'm here for the vaccine, but also I'm gonna take the free lollipop, and she's just like,
I have to say also like the CVS. us at the Northgate Target in Seattle. Like, I know that times are tough, but the floor of the little vaccine area was just littered with Band-Aid wrappers and two used cotton balls.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, if I manage to come out of here without some sort of bloodborne illness, I am winning.
So thanks for joining us for your favorite segment, Molly's Yelp Review, again. All right, so this episode, Serrano Peppers, was suggested by host Molly. Why did you suggest this episode?
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I think it was because, the last time I was over here, you had made pico de gallo because you and Watzel were having nachos for dinner that
night.
It was
a good pico de gallo used by Alvarez Farm tomatoes.
Yeah, it was a really good pico de gallo. This is peak pico de gallo season.
Not by the time you're hearing this. When you're hearing this, it's December. But
anyway.
But remember a couple months ago when it was peak pico season?
Anyway, you mentioned something when you were offering me the pico de gallo. You said something about the Serrano chilies in it or something. And it occurred to me that I just never use Serrano chilies. I feel like if I make a recipe that calls for fresh peppers, fresh chilies, it's either like a Thai type, like a little bird chili, or it's a jalapeno.
Yeah.
I almost never make anything with Serranos. So I thought, Matthew, let's spend an entire episode talking about Serranos, something I have almost no experience with.
Yeah, let's do it. So first of all, I want to like apologize up front for my not great pronunciation. So in Spanish it would be something like Serrano, but I'm not going to be able to make it come out that way every time I say it.
I'm almost certainly not either.
So I'm gonna use an anglicized pronunciation, and let's start with memory lane. That was your memory lane, wasn't it?
Go ahead,
Matthew. You didn't pick any up while you were at the Target?
I didn't. But I did stock up on Q-tips.
Smart.
Yeah, Q-tips.
Okay, so I think I probably first started buying Serrano chilies when I started making the salsa, the green salsa that I make all the time. So I make a salsa verde made with tomatillos, like roasted tomatillos and Serranos. I've talked about this on the show a million times before. Like we can share the recipe again, but it's my favorite salsa. I make it constantly, and I always use Serranos, like in season. Like right now, I get them from Alvarez Farm, off season, I get them at the supermarket. One of the things I want to emphasize in this episode that I think that like Serranos are the most consistent pepper you will find at the supermarket.
I'm interested to hear that because when I buy jalapenos, I truly feel that I have no idea what I'm going to get in terms of heat.
Let's get into this.
Great. Okay.
It's time for your other favorite segment, Matthew's Rant of the Week.
Ooh, is this going to be a fiery one?
That's a good question.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know until you crack into it. So here's the thing. I feel like jalapenos used to be better in the old days, like, and specifically like the ones you get at like a, you know, non-Mexican supermarket.
Oh no, you're not gonna go. This is not a make jalapenos spicy again rant,
right?
No.
And everything was better in the old days, like 1950. That's what we need to get back to.
That's right.
So specifically I'm gonna just speak from my experience. Things may be different where you live, but like when I go to like the QFC or the Safeway, the jalapenos, they're enormous, first of all, which is not usually what I'm looking for because I want to like, you know, chop or slice a chili into something and not have it be like a 2-inch wide ring.
Yeah. How big do you think a jalapeno should be?
I don't know, like 2 inches long?
2 inches? Gosh, that is quite small.
Yeah. I will buy jalapenos from Alvarez Farm or another local grower and they will be smaller.
Okay.
But the ones like the ones, it seems like they're trying to become green bell peppers because they have gotten bigger and less spicy and less consistently spicy. Like, you know, sometimes I will literally buy a jalapeno that has no heat at all.
Yes,
I'm just like,
I agree.
Why didn't I just get a green bell pepper?
Yes, this has happened to me as well.
And so Serranos like have a similar overall flavor profile, but are smaller and more consistently spicy, but not too spicy.
And how would you say, so, you know, when you think of the spiciness of a jalapeno and you think of the spiciness of a Serrano, mm-hmm. ideally, how would you describe the Scoville units?
Let's get into the Scoville units. Okay. So the Serrano on the Scoville scale ranges from 10,000 to 25,000 Scoville units.
Okay, and Scoville units are how we measure the amount of capsaicin?
Yeah, and it's like a qualitative scale, meaning like it's done by like, you know, pureeing an amount of the pepper and then diluting it in water and seeing like what people group of tasters can taste.
Okay.
It's not like a direct measurement of the amount of capsaicin, I don't think.
Okay, so it's not like a Brix measurement.
It's not like
the amount of sugar in a fruit.
Oh, yeah, we recently got some pretty good peaches from Metropolitan Market.
Oh, are they still doing the
Peacharama?
Peacharama? Yeah. Oh, gosh, I forgot about it.
Okay, so a jalapeno can range anywhere from 0 to about 8,500 Scoville units. So like hottest average jalapeno is going to be a little less spicy than
a
mild Serrano.
Wow, that's interesting.
Like an Habanero, it ranges from like 100,000 to 350,000 Scoville units.
Wow. Okay,
there are like stunt chilies like the Carolina Reaper or what's the other ghost pepper that are like even more than that.
Wow, that I had no idea that the habanero was truly an order of magnitude, many order of magnitudes hotter even than a Serrano.
Yeah. So that's for me, the Serrano like fits like right in like a happy medium area for me where like I want some heat from my chilies, but I want to be able to like taste the chili flavor and use, you know, like throw a few chilies into my recipe so I can really taste the chili flavor and not have that totally overwhelm the dish with heat.
Okay.
That's not like a criticism of habaneros, which are a delicious chili. They just need to be used in a different way.
You know, it occurs to me as I'm just wildly anglicizing the names of these peppers, it occurs to me that I don't really know where these originated.
Okay. So first of all, like the name habanero, we did like kind of a general chili episode. Like I always have to remind myself that the name habanero means like from Havana.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And so a Serrano is, it's like a, you know, it's a mountain pepper because it's the word Serrano comes from Sierra, which is mountain. And they were originally domesticated in the Hidalgo and Puebla states, what are now the Hidalgo and Puebla states in Mexico.
Okay.
So like, you know, like kind of north and south of Mexico City.
Okay. Okay.
So central Mexico, and the like diversity of chilies used in Mexico, like, you know, we get a tiny fraction of that in non-Mexican American supermarkets. Mm-hmm. It's been growing, but still, you know, we get like the poblano, the jalapeno, the serrano, and then like, you know, Thai chilies maybe.
Sure. That sounds like what I can get at my local Western supermarket.
Okay, so you want to meet Mr. Botany? What do we have a name for our botany segment? It's not Mr. Botany.
We just heard from Mr. Etymology. Okay, Mr. Botany. You know, it seems to me the thing that's coming to mind is
Botany Buddies?
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Robotany, yeah.
Mr. Robotany.
Yeah, no, that song is about a Japanese botanist who was also a robot.
Great. Okay. I'm ready.
So Serrano peppers are a capsicum, mm-hmm. meaning they are one of the many varieties of Capsicum annuum. There are five species of commonly eaten chili peppers, but Capsicum annuum is the largest, has the most varieties.
Okay. What does the annuum have anything to do with the plant being an annual?
I bet it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a perennium?
I don't know.
Okay. That sounds like perineum.
Yes, there. I mean, there is that.
Yeah, there's that.
We've okay. all got one.
Yep. Go on.
Okay, so other Capsicum annuum varieties include the bell pepper, poblano, cayenne pepper, Thai bird's eye chili, and jalapeno.
Okay.
Believe it or not, once again, pepper fruits are berries. It seems like every fruit is a berry, right?
Yes. Okay.
Unless it's a drupe. And I feel like that we must have said this on the show before, but a plant that produces berries is baxiferous.
What?
So baxiferous means berry producing.
Oh. Does this have anything? How is this related? No, the word Baxter comes from Baker.
Like the name Baxter?
The name Baxter.
Yeah, I don't think it's related, but I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, am I Mr. Etymology? Sometimes.
Hold on. What are other words that are related to the spelling of bacciferous? B-A-C-C-I-F-E-R-O-U-S.
I don't know. Bactine? Probably different. Backslide.
Bacteria with two C's.
Don't know. That's the kind of bacciferous you're trying to avoid.
Yeah. Okay. What about the seeds in serranos? Do you remove them?
Almost never.
Okay.
And like, I think, you know, there's generally no reason to. Like, if you're like cooking for someone who really can't take any spiciness, you're probably not going to use these at all because they're fairly spicy. And if you can take spiciness, there's no reason to remove the seeds because they're unobjectionable. And okay. That's where a lot of the heat and flavor comes from.
I was going to say, so, you know, I feel like I've heard many different things over the years about where the heat is in a fresh pepper.
That was not quite correct.
Yeah, where is the heat?
It's really mostly in the ribs.
So like the veins, yeah. Sort of, or the...
The
white thing.
Yeah.
Whitish thing that goes lengthwise down.
Right.
The
yeah. So if you want to seed a serrano, you can, like, with a little measuring spoon, like, kind of scoop out the seeds and ribs, but I've almost never done it.
Okay. Okay. Do you use them raw, or do you ever use them in preparations where you would either like pickle them or roast them or toast them, or what do you do?
Did you ever watch Smurfs?
Of course I watched Smurfs.
Remember the song that Gargamel would sing about how what he wanted to do to the Smurfs? Like, I'll roast a few and toast a few and serve the rest up cold.
I don't remember that.
We should record a cover of this song. Now I feel like I want to look up the complete
For
lyrics.
For some reason, I'm hearing it in my mind to the tune of The Facts of Life. I'll roast a few and toast, you know.
Yeah. You roast a few and toast a few and also
eat the rest raw.
Maybe broast a few.
Ghost a few.
that was really Gargamel's greatest crime, was when he ghosted the Smurfs.
What was his cat? Oh, Azrael was his cat, right?
Yeah. Okay. Man, that show was so bad, and I loved it so much.
Oh, my God, I loved it. I had zero criticisms about that show.
Same,
I loved
it. Yeah, and it was 90 minutes long, and I would watch the whole thing. Yes, it was the longest cartoon by a factor of, like, 300%.
It was my favorite cartoon for a very long time.
Yeah, me too.
Did anything ever happen to them other than, like, them getting into a scrape and narrowly being captured by Gargamel?
No. One time they went to space, sort of, I think.
Oh.
But like they like pretended, like someone tricked them into thinking they were going to space.
Oh. Was it Mrs. Frizzle?
It was, yeah. They got on the magic school bus. Yeah. I think there were times, like, did you ever, like, have a thing, and, like I've, like, lived through this having, like, a child, where, like, your kid wants to, like, show you some piece of media that they're really enjoying, and you have to sit through it, even though it is so boring?
Oh, yes.
I think I made my parents do that with, a Smurfs episode that I really liked.
I wish we could remember which one it was.
It was probably the one where they go to space, honestly.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
I think there was one where, like, Brainy Smurf breaks his glasses and, like, you know, the whole episode is, like things that Brainy can, like, barely make out because he broke his glasses.
Or, like, is Brainy discovered to be not very smart without his glasses?
I might be thinking of that Twilight Zone episode where the guy breaks his glasses even though he wants to read the books.
I've never seen The Twilight Zone.
Some of them are really good and some of them are really not.
I was terrified of The Twilight Zone as a kid.
I think you asked me an actual question and I answered with the Smurfs and forgot to get back to the question. Oh, like, how do I cook them? Right.
You roast a few, you toast a few, you peppers.
So
serrano peppers.
Yeah. So like the reason these are so great is because like you can use them a whole bunch of different ways and they're kind of good in everything. Like I've memory lane from last night.
Oh, wow.
Can we go back to memory lane?
Yeah.
Last night I made Philly cheesesteaks for dinner. This will be an upcoming episode. Not my dinner, but like we'll do a Philly cheesesteak episode.
Oh, great. Okay. And, I've never had a Philly cheesesteak.
And like I like onions and peppers on my Philly cheesesteak. Wife of the show, Lori, prefers just onions, is not a big fan of bell peppers. And so I said, do you want onions but no peppers? And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. So I made her one with onions and no peppers. And then I mentioned that I'd
thrown... Did you cook the onions and peppers separately?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I mentioned that I'd thrown a a serrano chili into mine. And she's like, I didn't know you meant that kind of peppers. I would have taken a serrano chili because they're good in everything.
Wow. I love that. Okay.
Okay. So they are great raw. They, you know, like they can go into a salsa raw. You can, you know, use them, slice them thin and use them as a garnish. Let's try a little right now.
Okay. Okay. So wait a minute. We have three in front of us. I'm just going to say that, are these all serranos in front of us?
Yep.
Okay. They all look a little bit different.
Yeah. So this one's kind of half ripe. They're usually sold green and unripe, but sometimes you'll see them like starting to ripen. And sometimes usually only at the farmer's market, you'll get them like fully ripe and like orangey red.
Okay. Do they taste different at that point?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Why aren't you using a cutting board? What's wrong with you?
I like to live on the edge.
Wow.
So when you're buying these, you want to choose ones that, like, you know, aren't starting to wrinkle. And, like, if you cut into it and the seeds are turning brown, then it's kind of starting to get past its prime, but you can still use it.
Oh, I love the smell.
Mm.
Made my eyes water a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So this one is not super spicy, but it's got like, a nice little kick to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they go into lots of different fresh salsas.
I wish it had more flavor. I think I just find myself wanting the flavor of a bell pepper, but with spice.
Yeah, let's try this. Let's try this like riper slightly one. Ripe one.
This one has a different mm-hmm. smell.
This one, the riper one, does have more flavor.
Hmm.
And spicier.
Oh, do you have a cracker?
I think so. Maybe.
I mean, I know that a cracker doesn't do anything for capsaicin, but or maybe I don't know, a little bit of cheese.
Yeah, we got that.
Woo! Matthew, it is 10:14 in the morning. Ugh.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Do really spicy things ever make you feel a little nauseated?
No, not really.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's helping me. Thank you. Many years ago, Brandon and I went to Mission Chinese Food in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And we had the wonderful cumin lamb noodles or something that they had. And it was so delicious. And it was my first encounter with spice-induced nausea.
Okay. But they have some really spicy dishes.
Oh,
there, right?
I mean, those are like wonderfully, wildly spicy.
I think I've had spice-induced hallucinations.
You think you have?
Maybe.
What did you hallucinate?
Well, like one time I went to this Indian restaurant on the east side many years ago and got like assorted pakoras, and one of them was a really spicy chili. And I went into sort of a fugue state.
What does that mean?
Like,
I mean, I've always heard that, but I don't really know what it means. Like, were you unresponsive?
I lost touch with reality.
What did it feel like?
I mean, like my mouth hurt, but like the rest of me was sort of like kind of like seemed like it was kind of like jellying in and out of like corporealness.
And how long did it last?
I don't know, like 2 minutes.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good memory.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there is more flavor and more heat in that ripe one.
Yep. And like I got these at Safeway. I think probably even like the green ones gotten from the farmer's market are going to have more flavor because they're like, you know, grown in the eastern Washington sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grown with love.
Why do you think that these do not have like the, I mean, these are not as popular in my world
mm-hmm.
as jalapenos. Well, why is that?
So I wonder if
the
big jalapeno thing has anything to do with like the popularity of jalapeno poppers or stuffed jalapenos. Because like, you know, if I was going to make like a stuffed jalapeno thing, I guess I would want like a bigger, less spicy one.
Yeah.
And that's a very popular snack. Although I think probably people who are serving jalapeno poppers at home are like mostly buying a commercial product that goes in the oven or the air fryer or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Hmm.
What do you think, listeners?
What
do you
think,
Molly, as the representative of the listeners?
I think we should just move on to the next agenda point because I don't have a point.
Okay. These pickle really well.
I bet. I love a pickled jalapeno. So yeah. I bet this would be even more spicy and tart and salty and delicious.
Yeah. You can like easily do like a quick pickle of them at home with like, you know, a vinegar and salt brine. They're, you know, an escabeche with I heard that they are good in jardinera, which is something I've never made and I'm not sure if I've ever eaten.
Oh, gosh. We should do. Well, I feel like we are too entrenched in the West Coast to know enough to do a jardinera episode.
Is that a East Coast Italian thing?
I think of it as an East Coast Italian American thing.
But I don't know. Maybe we could get a guest or something.
Maybe we could get a guest.
Maybe we could like record like the episode in New Jersey.
Yeah, we could stay with my ex-laws.
Are they Sopranos?
No, they're not. But they live totally in that area.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. What about, so do you ever roast them prior to putting them in salsa?
Yes, almost always. And the way I do that is just in a cast iron skillet on medium heat on the stove for like 15 minutes and like roll them and press them a little bit occasionally. It smells so good.
I bet
good.
It smells so good.
Yeah, it's very satisfying cooking process because like they look like kind of nicely charred and blistered when you're done. And you could do it like over like a gas flame really quickly would work fine, I think, or like on a grill.
Mm-hmm. You know what occurs to me, Matthew? I think one of the only times that I think to use serranos is when I make your spicy sauteed corn.
Yes. They are the best chili to use in that recipe.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and that can be quite spicy and so delicious.
Yeah,
because the corn gets a little caramelized. Oh my gosh, we'll link to the recipe.
Yeah, and it's just like you take corn off the cob, you saute it with like you know scallions and some kind of chili and what else? And like maybe like a squeeze of lime at the end.
Yeah, I feel like there might be a tiny bit of sugar you put in there.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
You know, how you take like shishito or padrone peppers and like just like cook them in a skillet with olive oil and sear them and then put some coarse salt on there.
Yeah.
Like if you don't mind the heat of biting into a whole serrano, like they work great in that preparation also.
Wow. I usually think of myself as being pretty good with heat, but I don't think I could do that.
I think I could do like one.
Okay. Yeah.
And then fugue state.
Yep.
Did you know that these are native to the fugue state of Mexico?
what about soups and stews? Do you have any soups and stews you make that use these?
Molly, I'm so glad you asked. last week, it was one of the first things I made after dropping Teenager of the Show December off at college. And I'm still in this kind of phase of like what do we eat now and like how do I remember to cook two servings instead of three.
But isn't it great if you cook three because then you have leftovers?
It depends. Like if it's a dish that makes good leftovers, like the chili verde that I made, then yes.
Okay.
Sometimes no.
But if it's like a hamburger or something.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to like put a leftover hamburger in the fridge. I assume sometimes people do that. It seems like an odd thing to do.
My spouse is one of those people who, if we're at a restaurant and we don't finish the hamburger, they will bring it home and they will eat it still like as a hamburger sandwich situation the next day. I won't do that.
As opposed to like dissecting it.
Well, opposed to like maybe taking the meat off and just eating the meat.
That seems weird too.
But I do not want to eat like sandwich bread that's been sandwiched already and then put in the fridge overnight.
No, me neither. But I mean, I was going to say, aren't you the person who makes your PB&J the night before, but
absolutely
they don't put
not.
Them in the fridge?
No, I do not make PB&J the night. I make my kids' entire lunch and or my child makes their entire lunch. the morning of.
Okay.
We do not do it the night before. I do not like what happens the night before.
I like put my kid to bed, like sandwiched between two pieces of Texas toast.
Oh, and then they're also already dressed for school the next morning. They've got lunch and clothes.
Yep. Sometimes like I write an advertisement on the exterior of the bread.
Okay.
Where were we?
You were saying so chili verde.
So like, pork shoulder, tomatillos, garlic, and serrano chilies, like tossed all that in the Instant Pot, 30 minutes in the Instant Pot, take out the pork chunks and puree the rest. You're done. It's so easy. It's like,
dude, why have you not? I don't think this was in my birthday recipe packet.
Well, I mean, you're going to be 50 soon. I'll make you a new one.
I'm not going to be 50 for a while, Matthew, but you are.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you can make...
I've just turned 43. Matthew is 46. And for my 40th...
I'm not, actually. But let's pretend I am. I'm 47.
Oh, I just turned 44.
The lies upon lies.
Oh, I forgot how old I was. I really thought I was 43.
Okay, so Molly and I are going to be 50 soon, and we'll exchange recipe books.
Oh.
And probably scrapbooks of our friendship.
Yeah. You gave me a great recipe book for my 40th, and I actually was just going through our recipe binder last night, and so many of your recipes are in there and beloved.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I should be writing down when you say, like, why isn't that in my recipe book for the next recipe book?
For the next edition.
Okay. So, yeah, the chili
verde. I cannot believe I just got my age wrong.
And mine. Yeah. No, it's okay. Like,
Well, but I always figure out my own age first and then add 3 to it for yours.
I'm still trying to mentally live back in the era when jalapenos were smaller and spicier. So.
Okay.
I was going to say something else about the chili verde. Oh, one of the things I like about making chili verde is, like, if you look up a recipe, it'll say use this many pounds of tomatillos and this many chilies and this many cloves of garlic and this much pork. And, like, the ratios do not matter at all. Like, whatever you've got, you throw it in there and it's going to be great because all those things taste good.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put in too many chilies, but you'd have to work at it.
If you undersalted it, it wouldn't taste very good.
That's true. But that can be fixed.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So, sautés, corn on the cob. So when you cook chilies in a pan like that, the like Mexican Spanish term for that is chiles torreados.
Okay.
So, like, blistered in oil and sprinkled with salt. A little lime juice is good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can substitute these for Thai bird's eye chilies if you have trouble finding those. I have found that, like, most, like, the supermarkets in my area mostly carry Thai chilies now. That is new, like, within the last 10 years, certainly. And so I think probably there are still places that don't have them. So if you're reading a Thai recipe that says, like, you know, slice some chilies and put it in some fish sauce and use that as like a garnish, or a hot sauce, in a stir fry or whatever, use serranos. It'll be great.
Hmm. Okay. You wrote here on the agenda, I saw someone recommend, did they write it on a sandwich board?
Yeah.
I saw someone recommend putting sliced serranos on avocado toast. Which you don't like, because you don't like avocado. But.
No, and I was, like I said, I was just in Palm Springs, and I won't shut up about it. And every day at breakfast, they had avocado toast, and, like, most of my coworkers were eating avocado toast every morning. I was just like, I need to learn to like avocado toast. It actually seems, like, less challenging than ketchup, maybe.
I think it would be.
Okay. Because, like, if it's, like, spicy and had some lime juice on it, that sounds so good.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd like it or not. You'd probably hate it.
Do you eat avocado toast? Wife of the show, Lori, does.
I don't really make it at home. Well, sometimes I do, actually. It's not something I would order out in the world. I don't know. I don't get, like, excited about it. I don't feel like going out of my way.
Wotzel recently made, with the leftover chili verde, like a torta with, like, a toasted roll and some sliced avocado and pulled pork from leftover chili verde.
That sounds really good.
She said it was really good.
I definitely will take some avocado, especially if we don't have any, like, good salad greens or something like that I want to eat it with. And I will definitely mash it up with salt and some lime juice, maybe a little bit of olive oil. And it is tasty on toast. But okay. I do like it mashed up. I think it tastes better.
Yeah. Okay. I will keep this in mind if I ever decide to challenge myself to learn to like avocado toast.
Is there anything else that you want to tell me about serranos?
One other thing you can do is you can make a homemade hot sauce that is just serranos pureed with vinegar and salt and is very tasty and will last at least a couple weeks in the fridge.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. I would have never thought of it. And what's the texture?
It depends how finely you puree it. Like I think it's good like to puree it pretty fine. So fairly smooth.
And do you strain it?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Huh. All right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
Good idea for an episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel that I've learned a lot.
I feel that I have too
about avocado toast.
About avocado toast mostly.
Okay.
Mostly toastly.
Matthew. We have some spilled mail.
Do we ever? This comes from listener Aaron, who writes, I was re-listening to Nonstick Frozen Treats earlier this summer, and we should specify that was an episode about frozen like ice cream treats that don't have a stick,
mm-hmm.
not ones that
not
don't stick
non-stick.
To things. Right. And it reminded me of a story from my childhood. Apparently, when I was a toddler, I woke up in the middle of the night, probably 8:30 p.m., and went into my parents' bedroom where I found them eating Klondike bars in bed and was absolutely scandalized.
Boom, chicka, bow, wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, go on.
They were not a thing I was ever allowed to have, and yet here my parents were enjoying them in secret. Nearly 40 years later, if I call my parents and ask them what they're up to, there's a good chance they'll say, eating Klondike bars in bed. I also remember my mother's reserve stash of Milanos and a particularly significant betrayal on an extended family vacation where the kids were sent to bed early for misbehaving and I was deputized to sneak out of the bedroom to bring back snacks, only to discover the grown-ups enjoying a secret icebox cake. I feel like listener Aaron has the makings of like an entire memoir here. As like a successful memoirist, wouldn't you agree?
I would absolutely agree. Get right to it, Aaron.
You've both talked about dad foods, but they've usually been things you didn't want to eat, old world things in jars, or things that became shared treats, Mediterranean imports delights.
I love how much our listeners remember about the dumb things we've said.
Were there things your parents ate that were reserved parental treats? If so, are they things you yourself eat now? I have like a joke answer to this question. I don't have a good answer to this question, but I love the question so much that obviously I was going to include it. My answer is that we still have like a running joke in my family of like we were on a road trip and we're bringing like whoever we were visiting on the road trip a gift of some like fancy-ish cookie assortment from Costco called Grandiose, and which were sitting like within reach in the back of the car. And so my mom kept saying like to the kids, like, whatever you do, don't eat the Grandiose. And so now don't eat the Grandiose is something we'll just like throw in to a conversation for no reason. And we didn't eat the Grandiose. They didn't even look very good, honestly.
When I was growing up, and this strikes me as kind of a bummer now, when I was growing up, well, so for one thing, my dad didn't have much of a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. He was more like a salt tooth kind of man.
Yeah.
So he was
and an
not-
endive tooth kind of man.
He was not prone to having, like, he was not all that interested in dessert, unless we were, like, in a restaurant or something. And my mom was in peak, like, diet culture era. So I have to say I grew up more than anything seeing my mother restrict her desserts and seeing my dad just not be interested. So for me, it feels quite wonderful. Like, I feel like I have such a different experience of my parents in relation to food than mm-hmm. what you're describing here, that for me, it feels really like revolutionary to eat dessert in front of my kid.
Yeah.
And show my kid that this is like a totally normal thing and that everybody gets to have some of this like fun, pleasurable food.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as, I mean, it might be fun in a different way to eat dessert in front of your kid and say like, and you can't have any.
That's true.
You can't have any of this French silk pie.
God, I cannot even, like, Aaron, I cannot even imagine what it would be like to have parents who eat Klondike bars in bed.
I mean, it feels like kind of a dangerous game because
it does,
like
those things always crumble.
A piece of chocolate is always going to fall off and stick to something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I also just love the idea of being the type of grown-up who has a secret fucking icebox cake with your grown-up friends.
Yeah.
I love this.
Like, and do you think, I guess, like, I was thinking texting, but probably not back then. If you think, like mom would, like, call the friends, be like, I've got a secret icebox cake going, like, get over tonight.
God, I love it. You know, there is one thing. So Ash and I might have mentioned this. Ash and I order McFlurries on, like, mm-hmm. Postmates or Grubhub.
Yeah.
Not infrequently.
Sure.
And occasionally, so we have some friends, Riley and Chris, who enjoy McFlurries as much as we do. And occasionally, you know, when we're having, like, especially during the pandemic, when we weren't seeing them very much and we were all having a hard time, a few times they, like, sent us surprise McFlurries.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And anyway, we have returned the favor, I think, once. We're really due to do it again. But if there is one wonderful thing you can do from, like, one set of grown-ups to another, it is sending surprise McFlurries. I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, one time, December, and our friend Dana and I had McFlurries in Hong Kong together that were the best McFlurries ever.
Oh, I bet those were,
like,
really good.
It was like, yeah, it was like we had just had, like, dinner at, like, a really good, like soup dumpling restaurant, and then Dana was like, do you want to get a treat? And I was like, what kind of, like, Hong Kong treat is this going to be? And we got McFlurries, and it was so satisfying.
I love it.
Okay.
Thanks,
so,
listener Aaron.
Yeah, that was a primo question. So, you, like, if you want to ask a spilled mail, like, now you've got a lot to live up to, mm-hmm. but contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Matthew, do you have a now but wow this week?
I do. My now but wow is going to be one of those things that you've definitely already heard, but, like, I somehow missed and, like, you know, got into, like, in the last few days. And it is the song Bad Habit by Steve Lacy. Do you know this song?
No.
I think you would probably recognize it because it's, like, a super popular, played everywhere kind of song. But I think you should check it out.
Didn't Ed Sheeran have some sort of song about a bad habit or something?
I mean, I think it's probably a popular topic for songs.
Yeah. like love.
Like, I don't think a song about good habits would be very interesting. I took the trash out again.
I brush my teeth twice a day for 2 minutes at a time.
Guess what? Now I'm flossing.
Okay.
And so one thing I love about Steve Lacy is, like, I feel like even today you sometimes hear, like, the boring old critique from boring people that, like, the pop charts are full of, like, indistinguishable prepackaged songs that are written by committee, or, like, you know, that everyone on the pop charts is, like, a 20-year-old that's been selected for their looks instead of their talent. And, like, I don't know if this was ever really true, but, like, currently we live in the world where Steve Lacy is a massive star who's, like, this kind of, like, weird, eccentric, like, guitar genius who writes these, like twisted, like, R&B-ish pop songs about, like, his difficulties, like, you know, finding love. And his songs are just so catchy and so delightfully weird. And he's just a real character that you should get to know if you haven't yet, but probably you have because he is super popular.
That is fantastic. Thank you, Matthew.
So put on Bad Habit and enjoy. So, hey, Molly, what you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the Kraken. So, what you snacking?
What you snacking? You know what? This is gonna sound so boring, but we went to Trader Joe's not long ago. We did a little Trader Joe's, you know, re-up of the pantry.
Yeah, so you went to Trader Joe's.
We went to Trader Joe's. And every now and then, I really love pitted prunes.
Uh-huh,
not for any sort of, you know, functional reasons, just because they are delicious.
I like them for functional and flavor reasons.
They don't seem to do anything for me in terms of the function.
Okay.
But that's great, because it means I can eat more of them without any ill effect. I have been loving Trader Joe's pitted prunes.
They're really good.
They're so good, and my kid likes them too. I took such pleasure last week in putting, like, 4 pitted prunes in their lunchbox.
Sure.
It was delightful.
That is great. I don't know if you would call instant noodles a snack. Would you? Sure, why not, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So I've been snacking on Nongshim Shin Gourmet Spicy, which is probably the most popular Korean ramyun brand. The kind it comes in a variety of different formats, but it's you know, the one with the black and red cup.
What is ramyun?
It is Korean for ramen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so this is, you know, if you haven't already had it and you like spicy food, you can probably find it at your local supermarket, even if it's not a Korean supermarket, because it's gotten very popular. And like for a mass market product, it's pretty spicy. And like,
is
really,
is this the one that we tasted?
We did.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And really good flavor. And like, you know, it just kind of always satisfies, and it's ready in 3 minutes. Like I mentioned, we recently dropped Teenager of the Show December off at college, and threw in cups of Shin Gourmet Spicy with their luggage, and got a report from December a couple days ago that they said their roommate said, "December, are you sobbing?" And Sarah said, "No, I'm just eating really spicy ramen."
Oh, that's really great. I like it. You know what else I like? Yeah. I like that our producer is Abby Circatella.
I like that too.
Yeah,
very
Abby's
much.
Really good at making us be better.
A genuinely spicy producer.
Yeah. You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, and apparently it like helps other people find the podcast and stuff, but I don't really know.
It like puts out some breadcrumbs on the trail to the podcast.
Okay.
You subscribe to Molly's newsletter on Substack. It's mollyweisenberg.substack.com. It's called I've Got a Feeling, and every week Molly gets a different feeling and tells you about it. And it's been going on for a while, so she's really going to have having to like dig deep to find
some
new
feelings.
I've got a lot
of feelings. Yeah. That's not what I do. Okay.
But it's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, you can chat with other Spilled Milk listeners about your feelings. on our subreddit. That is reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
So until next time, thank you for listening to the show that's getting...
the song that... the song.
The show that is a song.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. I was trying to make a joke about jalapenos getting bigger, but having less... content.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.